Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We have tonight's guest, healer and master of Oriental medicine, Haraj Mitsakian.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Sandro Friedrich. I am Mark Lejeune, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
To say I'm excited about today's show is truly an understatement. I feel like my vibrations have been lifted, like my spirit has been brightened by connecting with both our guest and our performance guest. It's fascinating to me how at one point when we're talking about between Mark, Dorothy, and I and the team, who's going to be on the show and making decisions on when and all that and scheduling and all that, these people already are, it feels like they're speaking to us through their work, through their vibrations already, like we are attracting them, they're attracting us. There's something that's happening. And by the time we actually get to connect, especially like both of our guests tonight, that just like we don't want the conversation to end. And there's so much that we feel like we gain from that moment of connecting. And I hope and trust you'll feel the same way when you listen to the show, because it actually is about that. On the one hand, with our performance guest, about music and bringing passion and lifting us or having us feel something in the music. And in the case of our interview guests, it's about raising our frequency, about compassion for each other, about working with our emotions individually and together, and raising the vibration of ourselves, our surroundings, our family, the world around us, the universe, and connecting with it, and so much more. So with that, this is our way of doing all of that, by bringing these conversations, these experiences to our audience. And Mark, it's no coincidence that we end the show with, as your life changes, as ours surely did tonight, we're here for you.
Well, we just started the show with that. We're starting off on a great vibration. And I was reflecting on, gosh, how many dozens or hundreds or thousands of hours have you and I and Dorothy talked about vibration and the vibration of events and moments and our thoughts and the way we feel and what it looks like the next time around the spiral. And this is going to be an important conversation today.
Indeed, and actually it started thanks to a mutual friend of all of ours who introduced us to both our guest and our interview guest when Marina Manukian gifted me a book, Messages and Quotes from the Universe by Haraj Mitsakian, and she said, I have a feeling you're going to want to interview this man. And as soon as I shared the book with you, Mark, and Dorothy, both of you was like, let's interview this man. And here we are. He's a healer. He's a master of Oriental medicine. He's an acupressurist. He is so much more. Welcome to the show, Haraj Mitsakian.
Thank you. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And I've been perusing the book. I'm holding it right now. And it's interesting, when Marina handed it to me as a gift, I opened up and I thought, oh, wow, look at those words. And then I went to another page and I thought, wow, look at those words. And the words were jumping out of the page and speaking to me. Interestingly enough, I learn about you that the words kind of jump into you and or speak through you. How do these words come to be?
Yeah, so when you try to get aligned with universe, and so the things come on your way, words are like vibrations, and just like true vibrations, it's all energy. It's when you're open, So your mind is open, your heart is open, your, you know, and your soul is open, everything, like, and the body also, because I believe in synchronization of mind, body, soul, and emotion. So four in one, sort of, the synchronization of four. So when you get synchronized and you get aligned with the universe, and things come on your way. And words also, like through words, you express your emotions, your mind, your soul, your body, you put everything into words. Words are very important, so that's why.
So actually, there's a key there too. We might have to come back to that because I wanted to let everybody know we've titled this episode Aligning the Mind, Body, Spirit, and Emotion. And so why those particular four, and how do they encapsulate and work with each other?
Yes, because let's say you came with somebody came with back pain, for example. I try to align the body, but on the other talking, I like to align the mind also through words that will be affected, you know, so if effective. And then I try to align the mind also. And then you work on the spirit. So through body, so you can penetrate the mind, the soul, and emotion. So four in one, sort of. That the real healing will start happening after that. After the synchronization of those four. So everything is related. And through body, you penetrate the mind. Through mind, you penetrate the soul. And through soul, you penetrate, you know, the emotions. So very important. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we can talk a lot about each of those. And now a lot of people do talk about mind, body, spirit. Yes. So adding the emotion, why is that so important?
Yes, because there are in acupuncture also, they call it essence. Essence in the lies in the abdomen, on the gut area, in the gut area. So it's very important to penetrate pressure points there, for example. It's directly related to the emotional aspect of the body. When you align the emotion, let's say the patient comes or the client comes with severe anxiety disorders, so you work on the abdominal part and directly affects on the emotional side. So that thing is emotion. So I consider that it's a kind of mind, body, soul, emotion, four in one, sort of. That's why. It has to do with the subconscious mind, but emotion by itself also, I see it's very important aspect of the body, you know, part of the body. So that's why I consider that. Yeah.
What's interesting to me is we're going to experience later on our performance guest who actually did not technically study, like in school, the instruments that he is a master of. And so with you as well, and he said that was a good thing because his emotions are, I don't remember exactly how he described it when we spoke the other day. But so similar with you, I was getting the sense that these were not things that you learned in school. You almost did schooling just so that people would know that you have some schooling.
Exactly. Exactly. Legitimacy or represent, you know, we have to get represented by some, you know, kind of diploma or something. But nothing that you can learn in this aspect, unfortunately, by schooling. I'm not saying schooling is not helping. It helps to develop knowledge. It helps you to understand better. But usually things come from the universe, and then you have to, you know, find out and work on that, you know.
So when did you start tuning into your lessons from the universe?
Yes. When my father died, unfortunately, you know, through a massive heart attack in front of me, I got traumatized, and it was sort of a very sad day for me. But through that experience, I learned a lot after that, because I got depressed myself for 1.5 years. And at school also, kids are bullying me and things like that. Everything has its own, you know, kind of reason. And after that suffering, I learned that I have to get rid of my depression myself, because no one was helping me. And after that, I started to search for an answer. And the answer came through my situation, through Jesus Christ, because I started to read his the New Testament and about his life. And I was fascinating that he was a healer. So my first initial experience came through Jesus. Later, I developed other philosophies also. Yes.
So you incorporate now the various philosophies.
Yes, yes. Such as Zen, Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, even Bruce Lee's, be flexible like water, and more open in Buddha's teaching from Zoroastrians, whatever you think, whatever you say, whatever you do, it has to get synchronized. So all the masters of the universe or representatives of the universe are welcoming in my heart, in my soul, in my body, in my mind. Yeah. And I learn from them.
It's interesting that you say that you were bullied, and it's interesting that now you help people. And I trust you're not bullied today, but it seems like there's a sense of people not sure if you know what you're sharing in this until they actually experience it, or how is it that the world connects with what you're doing?
Yes. So as I said, those bullyings, it gave me lesson also that I have to crush my own ego also. And I saw the ego is a very bad thing that does bullying, other things, and we mock each other, we bully each other, we hurt each other. So I went to the other extreme, and the other extreme was forgiveness and let go and get aligned with the universe. And you become spiritual first, and through spirituality, you can do other things, like as the masters done, for example, Buddha, Jesus, Krishna, all the masters done good things and good deeds, miracles, and why not? Everything is possible if we believe. There is nothing impossible in this world. There are impossible people make their jobs or tasks impossible. This is one of my, for example, quotes that I wrote in the book. And I really believe in that.
So you believe in a lot of interesting things that support other people, and not everybody believes them yet.
Yes.
Or believes them.
Is
there a path, like, mm-hmm. where's a good place, mm-hmm. because a lot of what we believe is actually not serving us, right?
Yes, I understand that there are many doubts, there are people are doubtful, they have every right to be, there are phony things in this world, but reality is in you. The truth is in us. So we have to explore ourselves. We have to understand us. We have to forgive ourselves first. Love ourselves. Those love and forgiveness and faith, everything comes within you, through you. It's inside of you. Everything is inside. You don't need anything from outside. And God is inside of you. So I think that's the initial thing we have to, explore or try to find. The key of consciousness is through the soul.
It's funny, when we connected, I said to you, it feels like talking to you that you have this attitude of nothing is a problem.
Yes.
And you said exactly that. Yes, that's what I believe. So what does that mean to you?
Of course, for example, clients come to me and say, can this be cured? Can you cure this? Can you relieve this? I said, if you believe, things will happen. Because when you relax yourself, first and foremost, on the table, your energy will flow. Everything will flow. Your mind will open up. First thing is relaxation. Imagine if the client is tight, nothing, even his energy flow is not working. So that's why I say, relax yourself, be open, let go, and surrender. Surrender is the key. We have to surrender to God. We have to surrender to our consciousness. We have to surrender our own body. I mean, just like we have to tune into, we have to listen to our own body. Listen what the body is saying. Listen what your consciousness is saying. So that inner voice is very important. It comes from universe. It comes, many messages comes, but sometimes some of us are more open, some of us are, we're reluctant, some of us we're not there yet, but means nothing. I mean, all of us, each of us, I have faith, 100% confidence that we can do this, all of us. But each of us, we shouldn't compare with each other. You know, the ego, I'm better than you. It's, no one is better than the other. We are all equal. Only we differ in our consciousness, which is okay. One of my quotes talk about the difference between you and Jesus Christ is the level of consciousness.
More, please.
That's all we differ. Otherwise, we are same, and with oneness, we are all one. All of each of us one. I mean, remove the ego. Let's crush all our ego and see. You know, it's like every night I try to crush my own ego. That's why I try to suggest to my clients to do the same, because I'm not the one that curing or relieving people's or patients, pains and aches and pains, you know, universe is doing. And I'm sure about that, 100%. Because when you get aligned with the universe, universe is the source. You're the medium. Yeah. And the universe does, you know, perform miracles. Yes, every second. But we have to have the consciousness to see that.
Messages and quotes from the universe. One of your biggest message is to let go of fear.
Let go of fear. Yeah. Fear, we have to get emancipated from fear. And so next book is going to be, hopefully I'm going to write about fear and death and, you know, very important, those things, because fear of dying also, that's the biggest fear we have. Slowly, through meditations, through prayers, through practices of just like meditation, and it will make sense to us. We will understand that eventually, we have to get rid of all the fears, all kinds of fears. And fears turns into phobias, as you know, whether through childhood or after that. So we develop fears, and fears will become worse. So we have to get emancipated from all kinds of fears, traumas, but it takes time, and we have to give ourselves time. It's all okay. So that's my message.
Well, one of many, many messages.
Thank you.
So again, the book is Messages and Quotes from the Universe, Harach Misakian. Yes. Actually, I have one of the first copies right now. They were only available in your office, but now they're going to be available online. So do check with our website. We have the information on how you can get a copy of the book. You can also follow Harach on Facebook and Instagram, and we have his links on our website for Harach Misakian. I'll spell that for you, Harach. That's Harach Misakian, Missakian. And for those of you who recognize it, that is an Armenian name. It's interesting to me that you are in America now. You are Armenian, but you were born in Lebanon. Was it?
Yes,
so,
Lebanon.
So there's almost like this mixture of different races and cultures and religions that you bring forth, not to mention the fact that you have a belief in reincarnation. So for all we know, you're bringing in information from millions of years ago.
Exactly. I believe, because I'm trying to be open as much as I can, open-minded in this world when it comes to my faith. So when we are open-minded, why not? Because I kind of study myself, of course. I read many, many books, and those books give me perspective that we have to be open. And all the books, all the religious books, saying the same thing over and over. I mean, you know, righteousness, don't steal, don't kill, don't do bad things, you know, have faith in God, things like that, be righteous. I mean, and why not if reincarnation also play handy also, it makes sense to me, because those souls also learn things and come back and learn and more and more. And we're evolving. And it's good thing to learn and continue learning, because energy never stop existing, never stop kind of always lives forever in eternity. So that's why I believe in reincarnation, that so past and present and future is all one consciousness, oneness.
Well, you said earlier that God is within us, and that yes. When you and I were speaking, you said that
yes.
I was writing notes. I was listening, like I stopped writing and just take it in. And then I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be writing for the show. So my notes actually are not clear here. So I'm hoping that you can explain for us when we come yes. back after this commercial break. You said something about also that we are a small version of the universe or yes, something like yes. that. So I want to know what that means and how we use it, how we connect yes. more with that. When we come back with our interview guest, Harach Misakian. And a little later on in the show, we'll have our Ask Dorothy segment and then our performance segment with Sandro Friedrich, all on the Life Changes Show online edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo. We are online with our interview guest, Harach Misakian. We are talking about the book Messages and Quotes from the Universe, or From Universe.
From the universe. Messages and Quotes from the Universe.
From the Universe.
That's okay.
Thank you. I'm ahead of myself because I'm already flipping through the book. I had said, you know, I wanted to take something of the quote and of the book and have you share about it, and three pages jumped out. So real happiness is the true realization of who you are and what you want from this life, with gratifying contentment for the outcome, no yes. matter what it turns out to be.
Yes. So
Yes.
Real happiness is like you have to be content what you have. So what you have is all good. Whether suffering, whether without suffering, I mean, without suffering, there's nothing. We don't learn. Suffering is to be learned, not mourned, quote unquote.
And, that was the other one I had picked.
Yes.
Suffering is to be learned, not mourned. Wow.
Exactly. Through suffering, we learn more things and then we become better person. And then we work on ourselves. So like last time, as you said, I was talking about that mini universe. Our body is a mini universe.
Yes.
And just like a replica of the whole universe is the mini universe. We have everything inside of us and we have the resemblance between the big universe that we have, or universes, same thing, or our body, very similar. The similarity lies in the energy flow. Similarity lies from meridians. We have kind of energy points, energy meridians. Each energy point has its own yin and yang. And through yin and yang, our body and the universe works. Without yin and yang, nothing works. So two flow of energies, interdependent, interrelated, constitute our human body. And if you have a stagnation, for example, of the chi of energy in your abdomen, for example, that thing is in motion. And you have to work through those channels and open up channels so that energy flow will be better. And hence, healing will start.
We talked about words are important. So the other quote, the third quote that I had turned to was, the correct touch can cure the body. Loving words can cure the mind, but only gratitude cures the spirit or the soul.
Yes, because without gratitude, first of all, when we gratifying, we have gratitude, our egos are zero there. So only kind of a zero ego person that with low ego can be gratifying. And hence we find love like that. When we have love or we find love, everything we talk about love and loving words, loving touch, loving beautiful words then come and healing hence starts. Without those three, there's no healing. But gratitude is very, very important. Without gratitude, there's no love. And without love, there is no universal language. Universal language all about love and forgiveness and, you know, let go. Let go is the key. Surrender. Get aligned with the universe. Be one with the universe.
So it's interesting that I know the book is going to be available to sell to audiences. And what's interesting is that we recorded this long before the book was available and put it out to the world, because you were saying it doesn't matter. Let's not wait. Let's get the message out. Like I mm-hmm. get a sense that you have a message for as many people as can hear. We've shared so many today, but how would you net it for us?
Yes. The message is that, first of all, let's have some opinion or knowledge about the universe. You know, as much as I try to put together some knowledge there, like it has been taken from every kind of major philosophies in the world, let's say. I'm not saying everything in this book, like a small book, but gives you perspective to start with, like a knowledge first is important. And later we all individualistically, we have to work on ourselves, each of us. And by work, when I say, try to get aligned, be open-minded, remove your fear, things like that. You know, believe in balancing your body. Health is balancing, everything is balanced. And eat everything, for example, you know that you can eat and kind of a, you know, in balance. And then nothing is impossible. Let's say if you have a pain that, sorry to say, many people saying this is not going to get well, try to not believe, you know, believe in yourself and try everything. And when you have the faith, that's the most important thing, means you're letting go already. You're getting aligned with the universe already. So that thing is very important in healing, the art of healing. And so pursue, be, you know, kind of pursue after it and go after it and don't lose your hope immediately. So try to find, and I'm sure you will find the answer of your health, of your disease, of your pain, especially chronic pains. It required alignment. It required alignment of the mind, body, soul, emotion. Try to not find the solution only in the human body aspect. Try to find in the mental aspect also, the, you know, other aspects as well. And then get connected more. And through correct alignment, everything will be better. And as I said, just like with gratitude also. So when you have gratitude, you don't have anger. You don't have, you know, resentment. And forgive yourself. First, forgive yourself so that you forgive others. So love yourself so that you love others. And because universal language is all love, all about love and loving each other and loving your body.
And you said to me also, when we align with the universe, that
yes,
things will make sense, even the unanswered prayers.
Exactly. For example, when your prayers are not answered, don't get disappointed. Let's say 50% of our prayers, I'm sure, will be answered. But another chance that 50% won't answer. So when you get aligned with the universe, it will make sense to you at that point, that why that thing never happened, or your prayer never answered because of that. So you will understand at that point. Probably it's your lesson or something, or you learn more, or it has to be that way. So you surrender, just surrender. Don't say why. Ask when, say when and how. Because sometimes in universe, unfortunately, the answer of why is hard to find. In philosophy also, it's hard to find when we say why. So when we say when and how, it's kind of easier to find the answers. So how are we going to solve this problem, and when we're going to solve this problem? So it makes sense to us more. It's easier.
Wow. Thank you for that, actually. And I am grateful for what I'm learning from the book and what you're sharing. And I have a feeling this is something that we're going to be, your work is something we're going to be hearing more of. I know this is the first of this kind of interview that you've done. So it's exciting for us to have you on the Life Changes Show. Thank you for being with us.
I'm very grateful to you also that you invite me, and thank you very much for this nice kind of conversation, and hopefully it's going to be fruitful and people will benefit from it.
Indeed. And again, looking also forward to more of your books. So this one's Messages and Quotes from the Universe.
Yes.
And you can get it online. You can go to our website for the page that is with our guest, Harach Misakian. And I'll spell that H-R-A-T-C-H. M-I-S-S-A-K-I-A-N. You can find him also on Instagram and Facebook. But we are so glad that he's been with us on the Life Changer Show. Thank you so much again. All the best to you, Harach.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Filippo, to invite me. Thank you very much.
What a pleasure.
Honor and pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Likewise, and to have you on. So with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Allison from Costa Mesa. I love all of the great technology we have available to us, and yet I am beginning to wonder if our access to unlimited technology is a blessing or a curse. Everyone I know, including myself, has a smartphone, and I love all of the wonderful things I can do with it. However, it appears to me that many of my loved ones are addicted to their phones and don't interact the way they used to when we get together. I don't enjoy our time together if people I am with are texting and calling other people the whole time, and or when we are with one another, and this often includes during meals. How can I get them to stop this behavior and go back to the way it used to be before smartphones?
Dear Allison, I love my smartphone, and I have it nearby most of the time. I find it fascinating as to how much I count on all of the amazing things my phone does for me. I love the way my busy friends can text me and let me know if they will be on time for our gatherings, meetings, and meals. However, I too prefer to have people present when we're together rather than constantly being on their phones. Fortunately, the people I spend most of my time with are very present when we are together. Sometimes we will answer our phones if we're expecting an important call. However, we respect and honor our time together, and I'm blessed to have these kinds of people in my inner circle. You have asked how to get your people to stop their phone behavior, and my question is, have you simply asked them to honor your time together and set their phones aside during your gatherings? If not, then please do so. You can just tell them how much you love them and want to focus on one another during the time you have together. It's very important for you to speak up and let them know that this behavior doesn't feel good. If they are truly your friends, I feel that they will honor your request.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Sandro Friedrich, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
And we're back. And our performance guest is so many things. He's a composer. He's a musician. He's a studio musician. And he has skills in over 300 different wind instruments, as an example. There's so much I could say about him, including the fact that he just got nominated for a Grammy or an Oscar. Actually, one of many. We'll talk about that. And I learned just before the show that he met his wife in jail, so I don't know what to ask first. Welcome, Sandro Friedrich, to the show.
Hi, Filippo. Thank you very much. Very happy to talk to you.
Well, I've been thrilled getting to know you, and I'm so grateful to our mutual friend, Marina Manukian, for introducing us. So thank you, Marina. And she was saying he's fascinating, on top of the fact that he plays all these instruments, he's played on so many movies and this and that. So I don't know what to ask you first. So what do you mean you met your wife in jail? That's where I'm going to ask you first.
My wife was traveling through Europe with a harp on her shoulder for 5 years, and I met her when she was playing street music in Zurich. And I just happened to pass by and had a tin whistle in my trousers, and we started playing music together. And 10 minutes later, the police came and arrested us because it was forbidden to play street music in Zurich. So they took us in and we paid a fine of 80 francs each. And we still have the fine is framed now on the wall in our home, and we like it.
How many years later?
Oh, around 30.
Oh my gosh. Well, what a great story, and congratulations on your, actually there are a few things happening right now with nominations and awards and all that. And can we briefly touch on that, because those sound exciting?
Very gladly. There were the two Grammy nominations for projects I was had a part in, and actually one of the Grammy nominations was for a game. It was for Old World. The music was by Christopher Tin, and I composed a top line in one of the tracks. So it's a tiny bit also for me, which is very nice. And the Hollywood Music and Media Awards were just over. That was, I think, two nights ago. And I had two projects there which were nominated, and one of the two won. And it was funny because it was actually competing tracks, but I was as a performer on both.
Well, you're congratulations, and
thank you.
More power to you. You're in Switzerland right now, so we're excited to be able to get to do this interview online. And of course, you couldn't be here to get your awards, but I know you come in and out of Los Angeles and many other parts of the world. Evidently, carrying a tin whistle with you, or one of many instruments, of which you have learned, studied, gathered, how these instruments come to you from all over the world is fascinating, each of them. But there's one in particular that we talked about that was an instrument that was later, I don't want to give it away. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Actually, a few years ago, I was used to carrying around a tin whistle, and it comes in useful many times. For example, when I'm out with my tent, sometimes I forget my tent stakes, and at that time I had to use my tin whistle, and ever since it looks a bit bumpy. But
really? No.
No, really.
Really? Wow. Okay. And of course, you're referring to the fact that you like to hike and camp, and
Yes.
So many, where maybe you get a lot of your inspiration, or you connect with these instruments, or the music, or the universal music. So back to the instrument, one particular instrument that has a fascinating story as well.
You want me just to present one, or you?
No. Actually, there was one where I'm trying to remember. You were. Somebody came to you who collected instruments, flutes, I think.
All right. Oh, yeah, that was a good story. I was in northern Germany for a concert, and we practiced in a studio. And at some point, there was this collector who just lived upstairs from the studio, and he brought me up and showed me his collection, which was fantastic. And at some point, he just opens up the cupboard, takes out a Taragot from Hungary, and which is quite high in value, and it's an instrument between a clarinet and a soprano sax, and I'd never had one in my fingers, and it's a quite rare instrument, has a beautiful sound, and it just gave it to me, and that in itself was very particular. And just a week later, Michael Danna asked me if by chance I played the Taragot, and I'd never had to do with this instrument. And then within a few days, first I get one, and then I get asked to play it in a movie. That was very special, and a good experience.
There seem to be a lot of those kinds of experiences for you, especially when it comes around music and instruments, and wind instruments in particular. So actually, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I would love for the audience to, first of all, I'm excited because I don't know what we're going to get to hear. We're watching you also on video. So this show is being recorded both audio and video, or at least this segment. And so behind you in your studio there in Switzerland are instruments upon instruments. So you're going to be picking, I think, two or three of those that you're going to share with us on the show that we're going to get to know about in here. And but we're going to get to play a piece first, and that piece is called Blarney Beats. Now, this is something that you've written and is pre-recorded. What in this piece? This piece is very particular to you. It's related somehow to your wife. Don't tell me you wrote it in jail.
No, don't worry. No, actually, I wrote it for my wife after, I think it was about 5 years ago, and it was a slightly bumpy period, and it was sort of the end of a longer period and a marker for me, and it was very close to my heart, the piece too, and I wrote it for Kate, and for me it has a bit, it has something upbeat and it has power, which it was something half new for the style of music I'm playing usually, so I thought it was a good piece to dedicate to my wife.
Well, before we hear it, what instrument are you playing on this? And are you playing other instruments? Because I think I saw a song where you were playing, I counted like, was it 9 or 10 different instruments on the same song? Am I right?
I have no idea.
You do songs where you play many different instruments, right?
Yeah, I must say I usually try to use them sparingly, because if you overload 9 flutes in the same track, it might have been in the same game or something.
Yeah,
It's spread out over an hour. But in the same track, I usually try to avoid an overload.
Ah, oh, okay, it's exactly what it was. It was a game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in this piece that we're going to hear,
it will be Alan Pipes and Tin Whistle, and there was this other connection to my wife, like we met through Irish music basically, and here I gave it an Irish touch, but combining it with a hip-hop track from a Swiss DJ. He's only 20 years old, and that was lots of fun.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, here is our performance guest pre-recorded piece, Blarney Beats, by Sandro Friedrich on the Life Changes Show. Okay, I have to sit down again. I was dancing.
Actually, I've danced to that track before too.
Have you? Wonderful. Yes. Of course you have.
I like it.
So, Sandro Friedrich, thank you. That's beautiful. Now, if you are as fascinated by what we're hearing today, please go to powerflute.ch. Powerflute.c as in Charlie, H as in Harry. That's .ch. So it's interesting, actually, on your website, you have Coco Pelle, and I felt like you must have started with a wind instrument early on in life, and that it's truly your calling because you bring something special, not only with each of the instruments, but the feeling that you put inside of it sounds authentic. It feels like you're on a mission with these instruments. So evident. And then I see Coco Pelle. So please connect the dots for us there.
Well, what I started with was the recorder, actually. So old or early music, European early music. And from there I expanded. I was early on interested in Irish music and in South American music. My grandfather had given me a tape of South American music, and somehow I got some South American flute, and what I did was I just started playing with what I heard on tape, and that really filled me somehow, and I liked that. And I definitely was an introvert as a young person, and playing the flutes was really a channel for me to express my emotions in a way which I couldn't in words. And so it was very therapeutic to me to play those flutes. And every time I had a different flute, I found a different voice or a different language which I dove into. And if I take a new flute and I try to take out to bring out sounds, and very often the instrument itself tells you what the possibilities are and what the language is. And I love diving in that and playing with the possibilities of the expression and showing different emotions with those instruments.
Well, one of the things I shared with you, I watched this video many times for many reasons. I grew up with my Sicilian father sharing music with us from his culture, our heritage. And one of the instruments that was played was the maranzano. And I saw a video of you playing the maranzano, and then you'll tell us more about it. I thought, I have never heard it played like this, and I bet it never has. And so I shared it with my family saying, you haven't heard the maranzano like this before. So we were all fascinated and excited. I watched it many times because it's just like you did something that I would never have expected, and I enjoyed so much. So tell us what you did, and I think we're going to get to hear a little bit now, right?
Yes, very gladly. So I have one in front of me, and the story of the instrument is, it's basically, it comes a bit from everywhere in the world. So my instruments are from Hungary. There's a Hungarian tradition of playing them. There's Italian tradition of playing them. My mother is Italian, so I feel close to Italy too. But I also like modern rhythms. So I tried to experiment with the sounds and brought it more into a techno directions. And I have recordings where I actually do it in a techno ambient, which I like very much. And you'll just see for yourself. And so on and so on.
And so on. And what is the instrument known to the rest of the world as?
Jew's harp.
And actually, then you even reminded me that in the rest of Italy, other than Sicily, it's also known as?
Scacciapensieri. Something which drives away the bad thoughts.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so in the short time we have left, you had a couple different instruments you were going to share with us on top of that. And while we were talking, you and I yesterday, I felt like our call could have gone on forever with almost all 300 instruments. That would have been so much fun. But
oh, yes.
So I don't know what you're going to be sharing today. What is it?
Let me continue with something Italian. It's a launida from Sardinia. It's, well, your listeners can't see the instruments, but the ones who can, because they have video, it sounds different than what it looks like. Let me surprise you.
Wow, you're bringing me back. That was also part of my growing up because it was used in Tu scende dalle stelle. There's a famous version from Sardinia with that instrument. So,
oh, how fantastic.
Thank you. How special.
Yeah, we
was
found
that?
Out we had quite a few things in common, being it the genes and also the educational background, as we found
yes.
out. So it's really interesting.
Well, I know for sure whatever you pull out next is not going to be new, is not going to be something from my heritage. I'm sure of it. What have you got next?
Next, I have an overtone flute from Slovakia. And it's about 1.80 meters long. And I will have to take off my headphones, go back, play it, and come back again.
And so what's
I
it called? What's it meter. Called?
Fujara.
Fujara. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here is Sandro Friedrich live on the Life Changes show playing the Fujara.
And I'm back with you.
That is so special. You know, when I first you pulled that one out yesterday, and at first I thought it was going to be the didgeridoo, and it led to an interesting conversation, which is actually the conversation of this show. We're talking about energy, we're talking about frequency, we're talking about vibrations and changing our vibrations and love and all of that. So the instruments. There are so many similar instruments throughout culture and different nations and over periods of time. And it's interesting how human nature has wanted to speak in that language, so to speak, or connect in that way.
Mm-hmm. I find it totally fascinating how you can communicate with other cultures too, like using these sounds. And of course, flutes from different cultures have certain similarities because they obviously use the same physics. I just remember a concert we had in a museum in Switzerland, and it was three people, one percussionist from Italy. I was playing Chinese flutes, I think, and there was a oud player from Lebanon. And we did not have a common language to communicate with, but the music. So we really spoke through music, and you learn so much of another person just by seeing how they behave in musical exchange. Like, is he giving you enough space? Is he taking enough space? Does he have something interesting to say? Is he able to enter a dialogue and therefore make it sort of relevant? So it's totally fascinating how you can communicate to people from other cultures without language. And actually, some of my favorite and most treasured musical contact were when we were in a situation where we didn't meet before and we didn't speak, but we started playing music and exploring the common territory through music. And that has been a few highlights in my life.
And it creates a bond like no other, actually.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, which I feel like is happening here. And I want to remind everybody that powerflute.ch H is where you can learn more about Sandro, and his music actually is ubiquitous. It's in so many places, but movies and video games, like you heard, and award winning here and there, and working with so many wonderful musicians and composers, other composers and whatnot. It's truly a I'm sure it hasn't been an easy life, but there's some kind of a blessing here that you must be feeling, and because we're feeling when you share it. So thank you, Sandro.
Totally. Yeah, I feel blessed. And I love doing the job I am, because it's really a way of communication, and I love the kind of communication, and it is very direct emotion, sort of unfiltered emotion.
I know you don't do a lot of these. As a matter of fact, in some format, this is more like one of the first that you've done like this. And so I appreciate you coming on with us and making it happen. And what a pleasure. And hopefully at some point we'll get to meet in Los Angeles. But in the meantime, Sandro Friedrich, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, too, Filippo. Thank you.
What a pleasure. So with a big thank you again to Sandro Friedrich, we also want to thank our guest, Harach Misakian. And with that, yeah, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.